Hey everybody, I'm Benjamin, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to the 10th edition of my 2017 MIFF Audio Reviews. And for this one, I will be reviewing the Hungarian sci-fi drama Jupiter's Moon, and as well as the experimental performance art film Manifesto. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is Jupiter's Moon. And the plot summary for this film, which I am reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. Aryan is a Syrian refugee trying to make a dangerous journey from Serbia to Hungary and the protection of the EU. When he is shot by an overzealous immigration cop as he crosses the border, Aryan suddenly discovers he can fly. It's a power that could change everything for him and his family, but people fear what they don't know, and the authorities will do whatever they need to order to neutralize a perceived threat. Now, I actually heard a lot of when I first heard about Jupiter's Moon is when the film premiered at the 2017 Cannes Film Festival. And when I heard when I first heard about its plot, it definitely piqued my interest right away. And especially that, from what I hear, from what I read, one of the jurors, actor Will Smith, this was one of his favorite films at the film festival. So I definitely was very interested to check it out. And the fact that it's kind of a superhero film that kind of is set, that takes place around the Syrian refugee crisis, definitely was a very interesting premise to me. And I was very eager to check it out. But funnily enough, when I sat down, just as I was just about to sit down and watch the film, I sort of checked its Rotten Tomatoes score, and I was really surprised that it actually got a 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, because I actually thought it got a lot of praise from a lot of critics, but I guess I was wrong on that front. So I was very kind of not to say I wasn't looking forward to the film, but I was kind of thinking maybe based on that score, the film probably won't be as good as it could have been. But now having seen the film itself, I actually have to say I quite dug it. I mean, I don't think it's a perfect film by any means whatsoever, but what I did like about it is that it's such a unique and ambitious film in a lot of ways, and the fact that it kind of uses the Syrian refugee crisis, which is not some kind of subtext for the film, it actually, that plays a big major part in the film's story, but adds this dash with this character who discovers he has superhuman abilities, being able to not only just levitate and fly, but also can change the surroundings of any place that he is at, whether it's people or just rooms, like, you know, sort of physically changing them in a way that is mesmerizing. So that kind of aspect is, I've always, like I said, found interesting. And the way that the film sort of explores that, I thought it did a pretty good job with that. But it's not to say that it is a perfect film. Like, I think there are, I guess the main thing I could say is that the film does feel a bit formulaic at times. Like, you know from the start where the film's going to, from the very start, where the story is going to go. Like, it does kind of go through the kind of cliches that we've seen in many kind of blockbuster films in the past, especially when it's films about characters who are on the run, and the film kind of follows those familiar beats pretty closely. But at the same time, though, like, it is a really well-directed film. Like, the cinematography, while, yeah, there is a bit of shaky cam in there, which can get a little annoying at times, but there are some moments in the film where are just so visually stunning, particularly the levitation sequences and how those scenes are handled are just so really well done. And I kind of wish the film was actually shot in 3D, because these sequences could actually really benefit from a 3D showing. But at the same time, I could see why some people might get a lot of motion sickness from it, because the camera is pretty much kind of doing like a kind of an Alfonso Cuarón or a Manuel or Alejandro G. Iñárritu style cinematography, where the camera sort of glides around all over the place, and it sort of goes, it literally, the camera does feel like itself is levitating, and it's just, and it's spinning around and everything like that. So I can understand some people kind of being put off by that, but I thought the film, in a way, it just made me gravitate more towards the film, at least on a visual front anyway. And of course, the film does have some, the cast members of the film are all really well done, particularly the two main characters, of like Iron, and as well as his doctor that he befriends. The actors who play them are both really well done, and particularly the actor who plays the doctor, because he has a really compelling arc for the film, which I thought was quite well done and very compelling. And also, yeah, I just thought it was just a pretty solid film. Like, it's not an amazing film by any means, and you can tell that the film's director, whose name I'm going to butcher, so forgive me if I get this name completely wrong, Cornel Mandrusko, who, if the name's not familiar, he's the filmmaker behind the film White God from a few years back. I haven't seen that film, but I've heard a lot of good things about it, so I'll have to check it out at some point. But I definitely was pretty impressed with what I saw with this film. Like I said, it's not a perfect film, but I do admire its ambition, and I still found it quite compelling overall as a film. And I could definitely see shades of Alfonso Cuarón a lot in this film in terms of how it's shot and directed. So I can definitely see him being a major influence on this film. But overall, like I said, it's a pretty solid film. I really dug it a lot. Like, I can definitely see why some people would like or hate it. But personally for me, I dug it all overall. So if I had to give Jupiter's Moon a rating, I'd give it a solid 3.5 out of 5. All right, so moving right along to the film Manifesto, which is an experimental performance art film which stars Kate Blanchett in multiple roles as many different characters. And the plot summary for this film, which once again I'm reading off the MIFF program guide, is as follows. Oscar-winning luminary Kate Blanchett plays 13 wildly different roles in this film version of Julian Rosenfeld's acclaimed installation piece, delivering a transcendent performance quite unlike anything she's ever created. Proving her performance as Bob Dylan in I'm Not There was just a taste, Kate Blanchett stepped into a baker's dozen persona, including a raving homeless man, a schoolteacher, a newsreader, factory worker, and nihilistic punk for Berlin-based Julian Rosenstein's daring film adaptation of his multi-screen installation work. Now, I haven't seen, like, one of the main reasons why I was very intrigued to check out Manifesto is, of course, Kate Blanchett. Kate Blanchett's one of my favorite actors, and not just because she's an Aussie, I just legitimately think she's one of the best actresses working today, and I'm always love every performance that she's ever given. To me, she's never given a bad performance. Well, at least for me, anyway. So I was very intrigued with Manifesto for the fact that she's starring in a film where she gets to play so multiple characters, and that was just intriguing to me as a viewer, and that's why I was drawn to going to check it out. Now, having seen the film itself, I'm just going to state right off the bat, I don't think this film was for me. I'm not going to say it's a bad film, but I get what the film is going for, but something about it just wasn't for me. I guess that's kind of the main take I can give to the film. It's just like, I guess to describe the film, it's not a film that's driven by plot or story. It's just basically just these sort of vignette scenes of Kate Blanchett playing these many different characters. But each scene is just her in a situation where she goes into these kind of very long monologues about different facets of life, from, you know, politics to art to nature and many other topics as well. And I kind of feel like the film for me was just mainly focusing on that. I'm not to say I don't think I wanted the film to be about, you know, a plot-driven film and with a normal film structure or anything like that. I'm up for experimental films as much as the next person. But I kind of feel like with a lot of the sort of the monologues, which kind of talk basically about the same things and topics, after a while it just got really repetitive and really old pretty quickly. And yeah, it pretty much is exactly kind of the same type of, subjects that she talks about over and over again, just sort of done in a very different way. But after a while, it just, grew a little bit too old after a while. And even though the film only goes for like about over 90 minutes, the film at times did feel like it went on. It felt for me like it was just stretched out way too long. Like this film could have easily been, say, a half hour to an hour film. It didn't really need to be a feature length one, and I felt like that's not to say there weren't some monologues in the film that were interesting, but it's just like some of them could easily have been taken out and it wouldn't have affected the film at all. And also, I will say this about the film, like in a lot of ways, like visually the film does look great. Like it, at least they, Julian Rosenfeld actually put effort into to the filmmaking side of this film. Like the film in each of the different scenes are done really well, and visually the film looks really good. And also, I did appreciate the fact that the film at least has a really good sense of humor about itself as well, because there's this great sort of vignette, which is probably one of my favorite ones in the film, is where basically Cate Blanchett, she's sitting down with a family who are, of course, actually played by her, I believe to be her real-life husband and her actual kids, because I recognized her, who plays her husband in the film, to be her real-life husband, Andrew Upton. So, and I assume that's their real kids as well. So they're just sitting down to have dinner, so they decide to have grace, do a grace prayer. And it just goes into this sort of, of course, Kate goes into this very long monologue, and you just watch the, and it's really what makes this scene work, is just the reactions from both her character's husband and her kids, and them just like, hurry up, just finish grace already so we can eat. The movie does cut back to that scene a few times during the course of the film, and it just gets funnier and funnier. And for me, that was kind of one of the highlights of the film. But of course, the main thing, I think, in my opinion, is what makes the film at least worth seeing, even if this film wasn't really for me, was of course Cate Blanchett. In every single role that she plays, she just does a great job. I mean, she delivers every single one of these monologues with gusto and just brilliance to it. Like, she is just phenomenal in this film. And every character that she plays is so completely different, and she just pretty much nails every single one. And for me, she is the main reason why I think a lot of people, why the film at least was watchable for me. Even though I wasn't that big on it, what made it watchable was, of course, Cate Blanchett herself. She's just fantastic in the film. So, overall, even though it does have its good qualities, like I said, Cate Blanchett being the main one, and I admire what it's going for, but yeah, it just wasn't for me, unfortunately. And it definitely is the definition of an experimental film, that's for sure. So yeah, if I had to give this film a rating, I'd give it 2.5 out of 5. So yep, that's the end of this 10th edition of my 2017 MIFF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed it, and keep a lookout soon for my 11th edition, in which I'll be reviewing the coming-of-age drama The Butterfly Tree and the horror comedy Tragedy Girls. So keep a lookout for that, and I'll see you guys then. See you guys. Bye.